Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Alexandria. Thank you, Alyssa Bell, for that wonderful intro. If you need a good podcast intro, Alyssa Bell is at intromachine.com. Get that intro from intromachine.com. Thank you all for joining us tonight. If you want to call into the program, you can do so at 347-838-8513. That's 347-838-8513. Tonight, we'll be talking with Glenn Kloss, discussing a grassroots write-in campaign for Mayor Yule. And then later on, we'll be talking to Monique Miles, who is a Republican city council candidate here in Alexandria, Virginia. You can ask questions a number of ways tonight. You can of me, ask by Alexandria. You can ask questions of our guests. You can do so on Twitter at Red Brick Town. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/redbricktown. And as well as we have a live chat going on Blog Talk Radio /redbricktown. Simply click on episode 2 and the live chat window should be on the page that the podcast is playing on. We'll be happy to answer questions there. Upcoming next week, we will be broadcasting live from First Thursday in Delray, right there on Mount Vernon Avenue. We'll be broadcasting live from St. Elmo's Fire Coffee Pub. So far, Phil Saffarotti, independent city council candidate, lined up. So we'll be speaking with him about his second try to become a city councilman in Alexandria. Then on the 10th and 17th, as we are, I picked the Thursday was more out of my schedule than anything, but occasionally there will be some conflicts. So on the 10th of September, there's a public meeting for Oakville Triangle. And having gone late to those, although you go to redbricktown.com, our website, and search for Oakville Triangle, we have covered a number of meetings. I personally haven't gotten to go to one except for the last one. And I can tell you that the plan for Oakville Triangle is pretty awesome. Go to our website, redbricktown.com, search Oakville Triangle for more information on that. I'll be at that meeting. So that podcast will be pre-recorded, as will the podcast on the 17th of September, being pre-recorded because there is a city council debate with all 11 candidates starting at 7 p.m. that evening. That will be sponsored by the West End Civic Association. And the debate is located at William Ramsey Elementary School, located at 5700 Sanger Avenue in Alexandria. I'll be there doing a live vlog for that, so please join us on that. For the pre-recorded podcast on those dates, we're working on scheduling interviews with the school officials, some school board members. We do have, we're putting together a questionnaire for the school board members. And we'll be talking to city council candidates like Democrat Tim Levine, Councilman Justin Wilson, who is having his kickoff tonight here in Alexandria. We've also got Councilman John Chapman lined up. We are pursuing Mayor Yule. We have Vice Mayor Allison Silverberg lined up. We're pursuing Paul Smedberg. And we also want to talk to Brooke Sidner Curran,
Hey, sorry about that. My internet connection went down. Not sure what happened, but we're back. As I was saying, on September 10th and September 17th, we're working on scheduling interviews with school board members. We do have Democratic Councilman Tim Levine lined up. I'm very excited about that. We do have Councilman Justin Wilson lined up. John Chapman, we're pursuing Mayor Yule. We've talked to Vice Mayor Silverberg, and we're pursuing Paul Smedberg. And we're also trying to get with Brooke Sidner-Curran from runningbrook.org to chat about a very awesome Running Brook event at Hume Springs Park, which is in the Arlandria neighborhood of Alexandria, Virginia. And that is taking place on September 19th. She is rebuilding that playground and leading the charge on that. And one thing I did not know about that area is the Hume Springs area, Arlandria, has the most kids under five in the area, in Alexandria, in that area. Another thing I'm very excited about is, I don't know if you know this, but we have developed an app for redbricktown.com. So at any time from your smartphone, you can launch and get the latest news, events. You can see the latest photos we have put up on Instagram and social media. It also connects to our YouTube channel. And also to our Facebook and Twitter feeds. You can go to our website, redbricktown.com, and download it there. I think there's a banner there on the bottom of the screen. And just to reiterate from last week, that we have developed Red Brick Town to be your neighborhood local news source. As a community driven, so if you all have something to say about in Alexandria, kind of like a letter to the editor, let me know and we'll get it posted for you. Information and Community Affairs site, which focuses on the neighborhoods of Alexandria, Virginia. And our strategic plan is eight words, and eight words only. And that is to be the neighborhood blog for Alexandria, Virginia. Having said that, we are, speaking of interviews, we are pursuing Police Chief Earl Cook to talk about crime in Alexandria. You can view the crime maps and recent reports on Red Brick Town, the crime map, if you go to our website and tap on the Alexandria area tab and then hover over Alexandria links. There's a link there to the local crime map, which is provided by RaidsOnline.com. It's a really good map if you're concerned about crime in Alexandria. Speaking about crime, a number of people have asked about a recent police activity at Carlisle Towers here in the Carlisle neighborhood of Alexandria, where I am broadcasting from. What I can tell you is that there was a death at Carlisle Towers, and the police were investigating it. And from what I understand, it may have been death of natural causes, but that's about as much as I know. So a lot of people have asked about that. Speaking of other things, a lot of people have asked about recently, as we posted on redbricktown.com, the Alexandria City Public Schools appear to be headed in the right direction, and as they had increased pass rates during the 2014-2015 school year and on the standards of learning tests, and the news was released by the Virginia Department of Education. The SOLs, as they're known by, showed overall improvement across all four core disciplines, which was English, reading, math, history, and science, with 14 of Alexandria's 16 schools seeing increased pass rates in reading and math. The most encouraging strides we're seeing at Jefferson Houston, which is one thing we'll ask Phil Seferati about next week. there, as you may know, and we have it posted on Red Brick Town, Jefferson Houston is at the end of its first year of a three-year plan to gain state accreditation, and they have set benchmarks for improvement. They have come a long way in just 1 year, and they seem to be on track to fulfill its timeline. We'll see about getting talking about this more, like I say, with Phyllis Saffari next week, who put out a press release on the failure of Alexandria schools. And Phil is right in one way, because ACPS is still ranked lower than many neighboring jurisdictions, but significant progress has been made. Thursdays, one of our most popular posts is open houses. We have our news and community affairs site. You can also go to the real estate site, search for rentals and houses for sale. And this weekend, there are lots of open houses. So if you're going to be in town or around the area, check it out. Go to Red Brick Town and search open houses. There's a lot of great real estate in Alexandria. You can also put in a listing yourself. We have a very good rate on real estate listings. It's $10 to list your property for sale or for rent. If you want to upgrade it to $25, that gets it featured on the real estate side, and we also blog about it on our website when we put it up about houses for sale or for rent. And with Labor Day less than 2 weeks away, your potential customers are returning from their summer vacations, and their kids are getting ready to go back to school. Will your business have its message right smack in front of these customers as we enter the busy fall season? If not, now is a perfect time to book your advertising campaign with redbricktown.com. We are Alexandria's number one local news source, reaching an engaged and passionate audience of 60,000 unique readers, 600,000 folks via social media, our social media reach. You heard me. That's 600,000 people via social media. If you want to reach those who live and work in Alexandria and who live and work across the country, as we are read from coast to coast, and we're also read internationally today. We have been read in 31 countries around the world. So no one reaches Alexandria and worldwide customers like Red Brick Town. In addition to our time-tested offerings, local advertisers can also reach our readers on the go via our newsletter, as well as advertising right here on this podcast, which we will gladly read, say, like a 30-second ad for you for a very minimal cost of $25. See our media kit for more information on Red Brick Town by going to the website, redbricktown.com, and click Advertise Here. Just a reminder, if you want to call in tonight, our phone number is 347-838-8513. 347-838-8513. Okay, so in a minute here, we're going to welcome in our first guest this evening, which is Glenn Kwas. Glenn is an Alexandria native, It was set up a Twitter site called Write In Yule. That's Write In _ Yule on Twitter. He did that right after the June primary, and wrote, and I first really got notice of him when Glenn wrote a very nice op-ed at Alexandria Times, at alextimes.com, where he wrote about Mary Yule. Quote, "I have never met Mary Yule, but for the last 20 years, I have lived in the city that he has served for over 40 years. I have lived in Landmark, Old Town, and now in Rosemont. I came to Alexandria young and single, and now I'm middle-aged, married, and have children. From these various perspectives, I've seen Alexandria steadily get better, getting better over the years. Our neighborhood school, once a place to be avoided, is now a selling point for realtors. Derelict railway yards and military bases at the old roundhouse site in Cameron Station and Potomac Yards have been transformed into some of the city's most desirable housing and retail. Quote, I witnessed an active gas station built on top of a cemetery, reclaimed as a tribute to hundreds of people who escaped slavery and made Alexandria their home. While Alexandria and Arlington, Washington, D.C. and Arlington have dithered over trolleys, Alexandria has implemented a new busway. Over a decade ago, Alexandrians were promised a waterfront for all and an end to being a laughingstock every time the Potomac River flooded. That dream is about to be realized. And a fair-minded citizen must give Bill Yule some credit for these transformational achievements. During his decades on the school board, city council, and in the mayor's office, Yule has quietly but steadily shepherded these and many more projects from dream to reality. Mayor Yule hasn't led with slogans and pandering. He has succeeded by listening to the people and building consensus over months and years. At times, a vocal minority has disagreed with the mayor and the majority on city council. However, Mayor Yule has persevered, and the city and the people of Alexandria are better for it. Mayor Yule's vision for Alexandria has repeatedly been affirmed through elections by the votes of his fellow city councilors and when forced to by court decisions. That is why I was so distressed by last June's election results. We wrote it was in June, so it was last Tuesday's election results. Republicans for Allison signs, my Republican neighbors being quoted in the press promising to vote for Silverberg. And finally, election results that show the strongest Republican precincts going overwhelmingly for the vice mayor are all signs that voter pool was not representative of Alexandria Democrats. In the end, only 300 votes separated the vice mayor from the Mayor Yule. This is curiously a similar number of voters who failed to cast a vote for delegate on the same ballot. Could it be that a slate of candidates that Victor Mark Levine called good progressives was too unappealing to conservative Silverberg voters? I can accept my candidate not winning. I have learned this lesson repeatedly from Mike Dukakis, Al Gore, Howard Dean, John Kerry, and others. However, I cannot accept the interference in a political party's primary, especially when 300 votes out of Alexandria's 86,000 registered voters determined our mayor. That's why I will be writing in Mayor Yule on the ballot in November. My hope is that a more representative group of voters turn out in November and we can keep Alexandria on the path of progress. Join me, Claus wrote. Glenn Claus, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Lee?
Not bad. Thanks for joining us, Sign. I just read your awesome op-ed in, I think it was the Alexandria Times.
Correct.
So why don't we start off here by having you tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, Glenn Claus is my name, and I've lived in Alexandria for about the past 20 years. I lived in the West End for a couple of years, and then in South Old Town, and now in Rosemont for the past 15. I own a home here. My kids go to ACPS. And I'm not generally a political person. I guess I'm more of a political observer, but not really involved in the local politics actively. I'm an active voter. But it was the, as the letter states, this really unfortunate result of having, you know, someone who I believe is really unrepresentative of the city at large, defeating, you know, this lifelong public servant who's done so much for the city.
And have you seen a groundswell of support beyond yourself? Have you talked to, like, neighbors and whatnot? What do your neighbors think about this?
You know, it's an interesting time of the year because it is, you know, the election was in June and, you know, school let out shortly thereafter, and it's been relatively quiet in the city. So neighbors haven't heard too much from them. I think, you know, it was a very small turnout for the election, so I don't think it's really on people's radar so much. But as you know, within the Twitter community, I launched a Twitter campaign maybe a day or two after the election. And
that's,
at this point,
right,
almost 200.
That's right in Yule. Mm-hmm. That's right in underscore Yule. And that's on Twitter, right in underscore Yule. I'm sorry.
That's right. Yeah, thank you for that. And then I've seen other folks, for instance, as a group, I think it's, the name's going to escape me, but as a political action committee, Preserving Alexandria's Future or something to that effect, who is interested in having the mayor reelected. But I'm really sort of looking forward to the next few weeks as people return to town and sort of get reengaged. In things. I think it's, you know, when we lead up to a larger election that people will start to pay attention.
And what, are there any things being planned to get to use your words, get people's attention?
Nothing in the short term. I think, you know, it's got some long term. We don't have a whole lot of time left between now and election day. But I think it's still a matter of, you know, there's a couple of variables out there. You know, it's, still waiting to hear from the mayor to see if he's actually interested in this prospect. And, you know, I guess whether he is or not, you know, I think some of us will go ahead and, you know, cast the vote for him anyway, just as a appreciation for his service. But I'm also looking at the Political Action Committee to see if they're going to take on the write-in campaign. And from there, you know, it's kind of up in the air. Like I said, once people start to get engaged in the next few weeks, I think we're going to set some more plans. So, it's, you know, that's all kind of vague, but I'm just going to wait to take the temperature of people in the next few weeks and go from there.
Now, you say you're still waiting for Mayor Yule, so you haven't heard from Mayor Yule. I know I have been pestering him several times on it. He seems like he's leaning toward it. Have you heard anything different?
No, I'm not, you know, personally in touch with the mayor. I sort of, you know, follow the news like other people and just wait to hear. But, it's a little bit concerning in that I think in a news story several weeks ago, he was going to, after he got back from a vacation, I think in late July, I think it was like August 1, he was going to make a decision, and of course we hadn't heard anything by then. So,
that's when I got to him. That's when I first started getting to him. And,
early August.
He seemed receptive to the idea, and I've also tried to corner him on his. There is, because I think in the bylaws of the Alexandria Democratic Committee, if he does actively support a writing campaign, he can't be kicked out of the committee, which I think Moran was when he ran as an independent, but they welcomed him back with open arms.
Right.
If memory serves correctly. Now,
yeah, heard the same thing.
Are you a member of the ADC at all?
No, I am not.
Okay, because I was going to ask if they have been receptive to this grassroots effort.
You know, I see no signs of it.
Now, you mentioned a political action committee. Can you tell us what political action committee is involved with this write-in campaign?
Well, let's see. I did make contact with a member of the Action Committee, and like I said, I'm so familiar with them, I can't even remember the name. But I think they were set up for a previous election, maybe two or more years ago. And it seemed like their focus is really in supporting the business community in Alexandria and creating a good business climate. And I think seeing the mayor go down to defeat really kind of alarmed them into reactivating the committee. And I attended one of their meetings sort of as a listening session, and it was all in confidence, so there's nothing I can really say about the content of the meeting, but I'm waiting and seeing what their approach is going to be within the election.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have heard Mayor Ewell say that Vice Mayor Silberg got around 37% of the vote, while 63% of those who voted did so for someone else. Now, can't the same be true for Mayor Ewell?
Yeah, of course. The qualifier there is, I think, as the two candidates admitted openly, Terry Donnelly and Bill Ewell, their positions are relatively close, and I think it could be more of a political style, which is the difference between them. Keeping that in mind, to me, my take on it is that it was basically, a pro-development, pro-progress vote split in two ways against the anti-development sloganeering campaign of Silberberg.
But do you think Kerry Donnelly would, because we're pursuing him on the podcast as well, you think former Mayor Donnelly will need to be all in on this write-in campaign as well in order to get his supporters over? And I say that because I have spoken to several people who voted for Donnelly, and if you go on Redbrick Town, you'll know that I voted for Donnelly. It wasn't that any animus for Bill Ewell, but it was my vote was more that Bill tends to, I think Bill's kind of spread himself too thin, and we needed a mayor that was laser focused on bringing business here. That said, I have spoken to, like I say, several Donnelly supporters who say they are likely going to stay home. Have you heard anything similar? What have you heard from Donnelly supporters?
Nothing. So that's an interesting insight that they would stay home, because I think if I can presume to know Donnelly supporters, that if you take away the mayoral race, you've still got six seats on council that will could very much swing out of a supermajority, so that you could have a situation where the issues that Donnelly championed could be undermined by a change in the city council composition. So I would urge any Donnelly supporters to actually, go to the polls, and, if you can't bear to write in Ewell or elect Silberberg, then at the very least, vote the Democrats for council.
All right. Well, Glenn, I thank you for calling in this evening. Please come back anytime. Give us an update on how things are progressing with the write-in campaign. Because we're very interested in that. And I'm sure we'll have you back when the mayor finally makes his decision, whether yes or no.
Right. Sounds good. Thank you so much for your time, and thanks for your good work on the Twitter and internet.
Oh, thanks, Glenn. And I'm sure we'll be talking on Twitter and in other spaces as well. And they can find you at @writein_Ewell on Twitter, right?
That's right. And if you're inclined towards email, I've got a Gmail address at write, WRITE, _in_mayor_Ewell, @gmail.com.
Okay. Well, Glenn Kloss, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That was Glenn Kloss from Grassroots Campaign for Mayor Bill Yule. I'm not 100% convinced on Mayor Yule's writing campaign will succeed, but who knows? I haven't made the decision whether I'm going to vote for Mayor Yule or vote for Ms. Silverberg. Look for that, sometime this fall. Right now, we are going to welcome in Monique Miles. Speaking of elections, we're going to welcome in Monique Miles, who is running for city council as a Republican. Monique Miles is a civil rights attorney with a successful law practice located right in the heart of Old Town. She advises individuals and small businesses concerning a wide variety of legal issues, including business, labor, and employment matters. She also provides legal services free of charge to low-income clients in the Alexandria community via Legal Services of Northern Virginia. She is a member of the Board of Governors for Legal Services Corporation of Virginia, which oversees pro bono legal services across the Commonwealth of Virginia. The Virginia State Bar Young Lawyers Conference gave Monique an Outstanding Service Award in June 2012 for her service as chair of the Women and Minorities in Profession Commission. She also serves on the Board of Governors of the Virginia State Bar Young Lawyers Conference and the Board of Governors for the Metropolitan Washington Employment Lawyers Association. Hi, caller.
Hello.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Monique Miles.
This?
I'm calling from Alexandria, Virginia.
Oh, Monique. Well, you're calling on a different number than what I was given, so I apologize for that.
Oh, that's okay. Should I call on another number?
Oh, no. Thank you for joining us this evening.
My pleasure.
I was just reading a little bit of your bio.
Oh, great.
Which you can find online on MoniqueMiles.com. Monique is a Republican candidate. So I guess the first question is, what is it like running as a Republican candidate in Alexandria?
It is wonderful. And the reason for that is because Alexandria is definitely a local community that it's very neighborly. So you can be Democrat, you can be Republican, you can be independent, you can be unaffiliated, and all that matters is you're a good neighbor to your neighbor. And so I'm just very pleased and excited about my campaign. I've been able to get out in the community and, you know, continue with the civic engagement and hear from people from all political spectrums and get their support. So that's what I'm very excited about, is continuing that civic engagement.
And for those of you that don't know Monique, her mom is out campaigning with Monique as well, and her mom is awesome.
Oh, thank you. She is awesome. And the campaign puppy, yeah. Charlie.
Charlie, yeah, I haven't met Charlie.
We just celebrated the National Dog Day.
Yes. Yeah, we got a lot of response on a few National Dog Day things that I posted yesterday.
That's great.
So what useful experience, knowledge, or perspective do you bring to city council, and what made you decide to run for city council?
Sure. I'm hearing a little bit of static. I don't know if that's on my end or if it's on your end.
I think it's on my end. I've been having network issues this evening, so my apologies.
No worries. So I'm a proud resident of Alexandria, and I have a small business here. Like you said in the introduction, I have a labor and employment law practice, and I also take some civil rights cases. And just living in Alexandria, it's hard not to fall in love with this community because it's, like I said before, very quaint, very neighborly. And we have the best of both worlds in the sense that we have our historic old town. We've also got a fun area in the West End as far as restaurants and businesses. And then we've also got the waterfront and Del Rey and other parts of Alexandria, the northern part of Alexandria. Actually, one of my favorite pizzerias is up there. But the reason why I'm running is because I have a genuine interest in people, and I've been involved with community service for quite some time, and it wasn't even my initial idea to run. They say that, I think it was a Huffington Post or some article had mentioned that when men decide to run for office, it's an instant thing where they look themselves in the mirror and they say, oh, you know, I look like a candidate, or I look like a delegate or senator, et cetera, whereas women, we're serving in the community, and people see our leadership, they see our passion for community, and they have to ask us to run. And so that's what happened in my case. I wasn't expecting to run, and then when I thought about it, I said, you know what, this just makes sense. Instead of being a complainer about things that I perceive as can be changed in Alexandria, why not do something to make the city better? And I think that we've, you mentioned earlier, because I was listening in on the podcast, the SOL scores have gone up, and that's a great step in the right direction. And there's also something that came out in the news last week about Alexandria being ranked 13 out of 405 jurisdictions for places for women business owners or women entrepreneurs. And I think that's great as a woman business owner. So there's a lot of great things going on in Alexandria. I think our city can do better than we currently are doing, and so that's why I'm running.
So how do you see your possible councilwomanship positively affecting Alexandria? And I ask that, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Alicia Hughes and all the issues surrounding Alicia Hughes. So that's the impetus behind that question.
You know, what's interesting is I rarely hear anyone, you know, mentioning Alicia Hughes. I think maybe initially one person might have, you know, said that they saw her around town and they were asking if I kept in touch with her. And I said, I haven't had the opportunity to keep in touch with her just because I've been so busy with my law practice and business and, you know, just running. But, you know, I want to positively affect Alexandria in a unique way that I can as a business owner. And one of the things that I think is very important is getting a handle on our deficit. You know, the Moody ratings for Alexandria, I think the last time I checked it was $550 million of debt. And if we continue at the current pace that we're going, in the next 20 years, we're going to have an additional $128 million of debt. And depending on who you talk to that's currently on council, some might acknowledge that problem and others might not. But my thing is, as a business owner, instead of shouldering the debt burden on the property taxes, I think we need to diversify our revenue structure. I think we need to make sure that we're not just looking to homeowners and business owners to pay this, to shoulder this debt through the taxes, but we need to bring more business to Alexandria. And one way that we can do that, actually I released a three-point plan a few weeks ago, is through non-economic and economic incentives. So, for example, neighboring jurisdictions have a B-poll tax, and we have a B-poll tax. And one of my ideas is to decrease our B-poll tax, which is the business professional licensing tax that businesses have to pay for their gross revenues, decrease it by 1 cent below the neighboring jurisdictions so that we can try and draw more people here, and then also educate people as to what services we currently offer. The Small Business Development Commission has some great programs and resources for businesses, as does the Alexandria Economic Development Partnership. You know, as a woman business owner particularly, I just want to make sure that we continue to retain our businesses here, because since February or since March, I've been going out to the business owners once a week with some of my campaign staff and speaking with them about their concerns with the businesses and making sure that I hear them and I'm engaging with them. And unfortunately, some of our wonderful establishments here, both in King Street and the West End, they feel like they might not be able to remain in Alexandria because of the tax structure. And although they love the the vibe of Alexandria, they're thinking of going elsewhere to Arlington or to Fairfax. So we want to make sure that we retain our business here, and if not just retain, we want to also bring, because of the need for increased tax revenues. So sorry, that was a long explanation of my passion and one of the things that I would do with elected council.
No worries. So what issues beyond the business plan as a candidate are you focused on in Alexandria? And the second part is, have you found that there's an issue that resonates with voters as you go door to door?
Yes, and I'm glad you actually asked that. Debt seems to be a huge concern for a lot of residents because they are fearful of having to shoulder the burden of more property taxes. But some of them, it's not so much the property taxes as it is the transparency of how that money is being spent and allocated. And you know, with the recent shootings we've had in Alexandria this summer and the home invasions, I actually got emailed by a local citizen who had her home invaded, not once, but this is the multiple times that she's had some issue with crime near her house. We need to make sure that we are able to pay for and fund our first responders, our police department, fire department, et cetera, so that we can retain the staff that we need to take care of our public service concerns. We need to make sure that the police department is being paid adequately and the fire department is being paid adequately and the other first responders so that they have no incentive to go to Prince George's or even Arlington or Fairfax because they feel like they can make a living here. A lot of the first responders that I've talked to have actually told me that Alexandria is too expensive of the city to live in, and they actually have to live out of the city. I've only met maybe one or two out of my conversations that are actually able to afford living here. So that's another, to segue, and that's another issue that I'm concerned with is being able to, is for Alexandrians that have been here to be able to maintain their lifestyles here. You know, while I'm not somebody that would manipulate the market to try and create rent controls per se, I think that there's a housing fund that we need to be investigating to make sure that we're adequately applying for grants from the from HUD, Housing and Urban Development Office, to make sure that we're taking advantage of those benefits for our people here, our fellow Alexandrians, so that they don't have to be pushed out of the community after living here for so long.
So as we mentioned, going door to door, as a GOP candidate, have folks, and I mentioned folks to be more Democrats, been receptive to you when you go door knocking?
You know, they really are, and it's very exciting. And I think it's because when I talk to them, they see that I'm invested in the future of Alexandria. They see that I am, you know, somebody that's going to bring a diverse representation onto the council. I'm one of two females that's running for a council member position. The other is Del Pepper. And, you know, she's had 30 years of service on the council, and we need more women representatives on the council. And, you know, we also need new perspectives, new leadership, new direction. And I think that that's something that I can bring, especially, you know, in my daily practice, I have to negotiate for on behalf of clients, you know, some pretty serious issues. And I feel like people on council need to be able to ask the hard questions. You know, is this really in the benefit of our city right now? Like, do we need to spend this money on this right now? And we've got some other issues with the public health and or public safety, rather. And I think I'm, you know, I'm the type of person that has the unction and political will to work with others to try and see some solutions come about instead of just, you know, rubber stamping things for the sake of just going along with the crowd.
Speaking of going along with the crowd, that leads into my next question, that in a heavily Democratic, you know, slanted town, how closely have you found that your the issues that you're concerned about, you know, your political and your political ideology and philosophy mirror those of the city?
I'm not sure that I understand what you mean by mirror those of the city.
Well, you know, being that it's a heavily Democratic town, you know, you know, a lot of people think Republicans are very conservative. Do you find that the issues that you're concerned with, like I know you're big into affordable housing, do you find that when you talk to people that they like what you're saying? I guess that's a better way to put it.
Yes. I think based on my discussions, the things that I'm passionate about and describe to my fellow Alexandrians when I talk to them are issues that concern them and engage them. But to go back to, I think what I said initially was, you know, as a Republican running, first of all, I'm an Alexandrian. And the thing that comes to mind is, you know, I'm somebody that, you know, we all live together here in the city. We all get along. And thankfully, you know, I've been to some other cities where it's more politically divisive, but I don't find Alexandria to be that way. You know, running for city council, we're dealing with issues like road planning and filling potholes and other local issues and funding of the schools and, you know, planning and development and those types of things. Now, those are issues that could be politicized, but I've even seen those issues politicized amongst some of the Democrat candidates in the last mayoral debate. So I think overall it's not a highly partisan office that I'm seeking, in the sense of it just, you know, people want to make sure that they trust you. You've got common sense ideas that resonate with them. And in my door knocking and in my, you know, talking to business owners and families in the community, they've actually agreed with a lot of what I've had to say, that they feel like it's time for a change, that they're not being heard by the current council members, and they want people who to be on council who have a political will, to not just be complacent, but to try and proactively work towards making Alexandria a better place to live, whether it's by funding, better funding for our essential functions, like I said, the public safety officers, or whether it's dealing with our debt issue, or whether it's, you know, looking into the affordable housing issue and the issue with trying to help our schools do better.
Now, we spoke earlier with Glenn Kloss from the Write-In Yule the grassroots campaign. Do you think the write-in campaign will affect turnout at all this fall? What's your personal opinion?
You know, I've heard both sides of the argument, you know, going to all these community festivals and having friends from across the aisle. You know, it's hard. It's very highly speculative at this point. I really can't say, because it just is going to depend on who comes out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had a crystal ball, but I can't tell.
Mm-hmm. And I have an interesting question, which Willie, I don't know if you know Willie Bailey, who's running for city council as well.
Yes.
On Facebook, Willie wrote, Facebook family, I have a question. I thought you ran for political office because you want to make a difference in your city, state, and or country, and that you put your heart and soul into it because you know with all your heart you will make a difference for all the right reasons. With that being said, I'm trying to figure out why I have faced so much negativity about me running for city council in the city that raised me and made me the person I am today. So I'll pose a question for you, and I'm tracking Willie down to get him on here and ask him about this as well. Mm-hmm. Have you encountered any negativity, given that you, like Willie, are African-American, as you go around the city?
I have not. I haven't had any sense of negativity from anyone. And that, yeah, I can't say that that's ever happened to me in Alexandria. You know, it's happened to me when I was traveling in other parts of the country, but never in Alexandria. I feel like we've got a great community of people that are very supportive. And this isn't to downplay what he's saying. I think I'd also heard something about John Chapman making a statement about something similar, about how he felt like he was maybe disrespected by someone. I don't know if they were a community member or a visitor or a tourist, but regarding his race. I honestly think that, you know, we need to judge, like Martin Luther King said, we need to judge each other by the content of our character and not the color of our skin. So I'm not running, you know, a campaign based on my race, or a campaign necessarily based on, you know, the fact that I'm a black person and a woman. I'm running a campaign based on the fact that I love our city and I feel that I can make a difference because of my leadership and experience and the fact that I'm an honest person and I want to, you know, I've got integrity and want to see things change for the better. This isn't something that, you know, I woke up one day and said, well, you know, I think I'm going to run for office. I really did have to think about it and talk with people who'd previously been on council and talk with community members and find out from staff within the city what all it took to be a good, or rather an excellent council member, because I'm not just going to run for something just to run for something. I think that this is a calling, and not everyone is meant to run for office. You really have to have a passion for people and a passion for your community. And it's almost like a self-sacrifice of sorts in the sense of time, because you have to see the better, the bigger picture is making an impact, making the positive impact on the community. And that's what I'm looking forward to doing. And, you know, I feel bad that Willie Bailey and John Chapman have both faced, you know, some kind of adverse experience or, you know, regarding them being African-American, but I can't say as an African-American that I've ever felt out of place here in our city. I've always felt very welcome, and just like I welcome everyone else, regardless of race.
Well, that was well said.
Thank you.
The debate is coming up on September 17th. Have you ever debated before?
I don't know if I should answer that. That might give them some insight. The opposing people, or the people I'm running
against. So can
I
we expect
actually,
a, can we,
I've debated
can we expect
before.
A, well, can we expect a tough Monique Miles? Because I can, having seen some of the city councilors, and I will not name names, they can be quite tough. So can you give as good as you get?
I think that it's not so much posturing and, you know, if I'm going to talk louder than this person or I need to, you know, embarrass them if they embarrass me. I really just believe in respecting my neighbors, and, you know, I'm going to handle myself professionally like I do on a day-to-day basis, you know, whether it's advocating for clients or, you know, talking with people in our community. I think it's important to, you know, convey what you need to say, but you don't need to go out of your way to try and put somebody down. I think that one of the hallmarks of my campaign is that it's been very positive, and I made sure of that through instilling that value in my campaign staff and making sure that we're above and above board with regards to how we handle other campaigns and interact with them, as well as how we interact with the community and people that might have, you know, had some other ideas about what things should be done and pursued. So I will definitely be prepared and looking forward to just seeing civic engagement and being able to get my ideas out there even further. Because, you know, as you know, I'm running against five incumbents and there are 11 candidates in the field for six spots. So I think the biggest thing for me is just continuing to get my name out there. And I, you know, I appreciate Red Brick Town for putting my name out there through social media and even just engaging with me. You've been probably one of the few leads that's actually reached out to me to try and get statements and to get me involved with Red Brick Town. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. We are a neighborhood blog. And speaking of neighborhoodness, I know you're big into giving back in the legal community, but I understand there's a Friends of Monique Miles Day of Service event. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. I'm so glad you mentioned that. We're going to be partnering with a nonprofit that is. We're actually going to be handing out some school supplies, backpacks for the kids over in the Chittilawa area. It's called the Day of Service event, and you know this is something that I don't want it to be just a one-time thing. I think it's important for us to give back. It's going to be in Delray, in the Delray neighborhood, at the Love of Christ Church. And it starts from 11 o'clock, and it's going to go till 5:30. But there's going to be different mentorship opportunities as far as, you know, speaking. I'm going to be speaking at their event as an entrepreneur that beat the odds. you know, talking about my own personal family background and how I was raised by a single mom and how I was able to pursue goals and, you know, through ambition and perseverance get accepted to UVA and get accepted to law school, et cetera, and still giving back every step of the way, trying to give back to at-risk youth. And so I'm just looking forward to other people in the community engaging with us that day. So if you can make it, please come. It's going to be at Love of Christ Church from 11 to 5:30.
Well, I'll see if I can stop by that day. Well, Monique Miles, thank you for joining us this evening. Where can people go to learn more about your campaign?
They can go to our website, which is moniquemiles.com, and we have our events posted there. You know, we're going to have more information about our back-to-school day of service and backpack giveaway that we just talked about. And then they can also find out about, you know, press pieces that we have on there that talk a little bit more about my issues. So that's about it. And they can also request yard and window signs and get in touch with us if they'd like to volunteer on the campaign trail. We need some people to help us with door-to-door and help us with mailers and phone calls, et cetera. It's all exciting times.
Okay,
right
well,
now.
All right. Well, Monique Miles, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Lee. It was great speaking with you.
Good speaking with you, ma'am.
Okay, take care.
That was Monique Miles, Republican candidate for City Council. Thank you for joining us this evening. You can follow us online at Twitter on at RedbrickTown. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/RedbrickTown for more, or online at RedbrickTown.com. If you've got any tips or anything, anytime you want to contact me, you can contact me at RedbrickTown.com. Simply click the Contact Me link and send me an email anytime. Thanks for joining us this evening. And we'll see you next week.